Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Well, Donnie, all 3 of your losses this series, obviously by one run. Just how frustrating is it to be right there and come up short?
It's frustrating, but it just shows we're right there. You know, Cubs are leading the division. 4 one-run games, came out on top on one. You know, obviously wish it was more. Guys are battling. We're right there. Pitching is doing a heck of a job keeping us in it. And we had a chance in the 3 games we lost, for sure.
So that's Don Kelly, you know the voice, Pirates manager, saying they're not that far away. You play the division-leading Cubs, 4 games in Wrigley Field, places going bonkers, every game a one-run game. They're so close. Buccos this year, 14 and 17 in one-run games. So he thinks they're close. Joe Starkey yesterday said the Pirates are one bat away from being in wild card contention, which I don't really think is all that arguable. I know that Austin Bechtold went back and forth with him, and there were some semantical problems with Austin's side of the argument. I think that Starkey is right. You got one impact bat in here. The team is 1 game under 500 since Don Kelly took over. They play a bunch of one-run games. That bat would make a difference in a few of those. They'd be slightly above 500 or right around 500, which does keep you in this wild card race. I think that's an easy stance to defend. I think Joe is right. But that's not what I define as being close. Close is you're a wild card team that you wire to wire are above 500. And when you come to town, opposing teams' fans go, oh, this will be a great series, because the Pirates are going to be a playoff team. And I don't mean a division winner. The Cubs are kind of running away and hiding there. But like the Reds, they're 2 games above 500. And I look at them as a potential playoff team. Maybe they're not even the best example. The Brewers, 39 and 34. The Giants, 10 games over 500. The Padres, 7 games over 500. And I don't want to get caught in the same semantical wash as Bechtold did. That's why I'm moving the goalposts on this a little bit. I don't define close as just being in the artificial wild card race. That doesn't do it for me. But are you a real, true wild card team? They're more than just a bat away. You had a really frustrating pitching performance that I think kind of underscored the entire season in this Cubs series, where Paul Skenes, yeah, was great in that game, but that's happened time and time again. And I don't want to just shuffle it on over to the side, but because we're used to seeing it, it kind of doesn't move the needle for me anymore. No, it was actually when Mike Burrows took the mound and pitched over 5 innings and struck out 8 guys, and then Ashcraft goes 2 innings to end the game. So you get 7 1/3 innings from 2 young pitchers, and you still can't win because you can't score. Starkey said this time and time again, and I definitely agree with this. You've got the hard part figured out, and all of a sudden your bullpen looks pretty good because some of these young guys that had been starters are now in your bullpen, and they've pitched well. And maybe you move Burrows to the bullpen if and when you finally friggin' see Chandler get up here. So from a pitching standpoint, they've been the best pitching staff in the National League since the beginning of May. They've got that all figured out, and that's a really hard thing to do, and it's even harder to have depth. They got it. But they're more than just a bat away from being a true wild card team. And until they are truly a playoff team, they'll not have achieved what I thought that, my God, they'd have achieved by year 6. Don Kelly thinks they're close. They are not close with this roster. How much help do they need? 412-928-9370. That's the number to call. I want you to weigh in on this. Bucko Talks brought to you by Mike Camlin Hyundai, home of the Mike Camlin Advantage, oil changes for life. And also, Bucko Talk brought to you by Goodrich and Geist. Get the good guys, Goodrich and Geist. A lot of people have chimed in on this whole Harry Callis situation. I threw out a Twitter poll. Do you believe Harry Callis? You can vote at underscore Adam Crowley. 61% of our listeners believe in you. And I'd say about 100% of our texters are just eviscerating Pony right now and absolutely just taking shirtless Tom. They're taking Dom to task. Intern Dom.
We have an update as well on social media.
Okay.
The official Fan Morning Show account just tweeted, "We can officially confirm that Harry Callis uses this phrase on occasion at least once every 3 weeks when introducing his Fan Early Morning Show." You can't get more credible than our own show's social media.
That you took over by yourself without asking for permission.
That's my job. It's in my job description to do social media while I'm here.
Someone did write in on the text line at 412-928-9370. That is brought to us by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you, that you are actually the perfect guy for NBC2 feature here. That they may have sought you out, Harry, because this is supposed to depict a hardworking steel mill guy in the heart of the Steel City. They write in, no one works harder than Harry. Harry wakes up early. He hosts the early morning show. Harry has to get all our audio. Harry has to send out, we'll see, sometimes it's not on time, but the show notes. He'll do all the podcasting. He'll do all the videos. All the while working a second job and for a while running for office.
Yeah.
You're like a single mom with three jobs, they write in, Harry.
And didn't you text me after the 5-alarm marathon and compliment me for keeping energy up the entire time I was there? And
I did.
I think that I was the only one that stayed pretty much the entire time.
I thought we all stayed.
No, not everybody stayed. Doran left.
Wow! I didn't even know that because I did stay and I slept in the bunk bed. You can attest to that.
Okay, so I was one of the few that stayed the entire time. Interacting with fans, playing basketball, climbing a 70-foot ladder.
So you're saying that your dedication to the station cannot be questioned, and thus, if NBC even did come calling, you would have asked me and Doran what we thought was best.
Yeah, because think about the publicity I can get from, like, all over the place. Like, when I climb the ladder, I got a bunch of followers on X.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I say anything silly, or when there's anything controversial that happens locally, where I'm in a video, or I give a take. Like, that stuff, I get publicity for that. So why would I seek out the opportunity to get publicity from a sport that I don't truly even understand all that much either? I'm not a big golf guy.
Harry's defenses get stronger and stronger. And breaking news, I did look at Harry's email during the break. I looked in the trash folder. I combed that thing left and right. I was using F3. I was looking for NBC. Nothing. There is no smoking gun here. So if Harry did get rid of the evidence, he did a hell of a job. Texter, the Pirates need more help than Dom needing to find a date. So we are screwed. One more text here. I work at U.S. Steel. Harry's the man. How about that? You got the blue-collar people behind you.
Yeah, and what if Dom's trying to get me fired? I mean, that's a theory as well. What if Dom is peddling Pony's theory to serve himself
so that he can take a full-time producer job?
Yeah, because Dom hosted two early morning shows while I was out for Election Day in May.
I hate to say this to Dom because I think he's got a really bright future in the industry, and I myself have an annoying voice and am an acquired taste. But can you imagine if they used intern Dom's voice to portray, like, strong, hardworking, dedicated steelworkers? All right. Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Don Kelly thinks the Pirates are close. I don't think they're that far off, but they absolutely need more than one bat. I'll tell you another reason why I think that's the case when we come back. You can weigh in, 412-928-9370. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. At the bottom of the hour, we got a dude who played for the 2012 Pirates on the cusp, and then the 2013 Pirates that broke through. Does he think this team is close like Don Kelly does? We have
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Some confirmation now on the Deshaun Elliott extension. It had been reported by Tom Pelissero last night of NFL Network that the Steelers had agreed to a two-year extension with the safety, worth about $10 million guaranteed. And Deshaun Elliott on his Instagram this morning posts, "Grateful to the Rooney family, Omar Khan and Coach Tomlin for bringing me to Pittsburgh and giving me a home. Thankful to be extended for two more years to play for the best organization in front of the best fans in the NFL." So there's the confirmation. I think it's shrewd business, smart business. That guy's making $5 million a year and was way better than Minka Fitzpatrick was last year. I don't think that's necessarily a reflection on Minka, more the scheming, more the way he's used. But I think that's a fact. I think Deshaun Elliott, clearly a better player than Minka last season. Minka has one pick in 28 games, and Minka, well, he's going to cost $23 million against the salary cap this year. Does this mean, with the addition of Warren Thornhill as well, that the Steelers are preparing for life beyond Minka? Not this year, but maybe after this year? 412-928-9370. That's one of the topics we've thrown out today. We've also asked you whether or not the whiskey is good that Terry Bradshaw sells. And a lot of people have said, no, it's absolute swill. I'm not a brown liquor guy. I do always have a bottle of Jameson at my house in case people want something when they come over. I always have a bottle of Jack Daniels because that's what my dad drinks from time to time.
Do you remember when you tried the Ed Sheeran hot sauce?
No, I legitimately have totally blacked that out.
Because remember, you lost a bet,
mm-hmm.
and you had to put that hot sauce on one of those like rice crackers.
Oh, a rice cake, yeah.
And you almost threw up. I still have a video of it.
Yeah, it was terrible. Yeah, I can discern a good hot sauce from a bad hot sauce. I'm a big Cholula guy.
You didn't like, nobody liked it. We all,
I like Tabasco. Sample. Yeah, Ed Sheeran, you shouldn't be making hot sauce. You should be making bad music. Like, Terry, you should be talking about the NFL on Fox. I don't know that we need you in the whiskey game. And I guess he's going to local beer distributors coming up at the end of the month and just signing autographs out front, which, like, you're Terry Bradshaw, man. What are you doing? All right, that's off the topic. We have some Callis-related things to get to, but Don Kelly said over the weekend that the Pirates are close. They lost 3 out of 4 games to the Cubs, all those games by one score. He contends that this team is close, maybe, to contending. Do you agree? 412-928-9370. I think they're closer than most people think they are, but one bat's not going to do the trick. So the Pirates, I'm looking at the wild card standings here. And among all the teams that are not the division leaders in the National League, the Pirates have actually given up the third fewest runs. So among all those teams vying for those wild card spots, the Pirates, they pitch better than the vast majority of them. And really, since May 1st, they've pitched better than anybody. They've given up 286 runs on the season. Now, by comparison, the Braves have given up 278, so they've pitched slightly better than the Pirates, but really, they're damn near equal. The Braves have scored 58 more runs than the Pirates, and where does that have them right now? They pitched the same, they've scored a lot more, they have a plus 12 run differential. That's got them still 8 games under 500. The Pirates aren't just one bat away from being the Braves. If they were, what does that even get them? That gets them to 7.5 games back in the wild card race. So the Braves have scored, and they've pitched, and yet here they are 8 games under. One bat ain't doing it for the Buccos, folks. It just isn't. You need at least a couple. ESPN just posted something yesterday, ranking the Pirates lineup the second worst in all of Major League Baseball. One Rafael Devers does not change that. We'll talk to a Bucco, a surprise Bucco at the bottom of the hour, who was part of the 2012 and 2013 teams. So he was there when they were close, and he was there when they broke through. Does he see this team as one that is close to breaking through? 412-928-9370. First, we go to Joe in New York. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, how's it going?
What up?
Hey, I am calling to defend Harry Callis.
Oh, jeez. All right.
Other than Bob Pompiani, who has the most distinguished voice on The Fan? It is definitely Harry Callis. If NBC wanted somebody, they would not be calling intern Dom, and they'd be going through, and they would be looking for Harry Callis' voice. Period. End of argument.
You don't think they could have you don't think they could have emailed Harry and said, "Hey, we just want something from the morning show," and he sends them his voice?
Don't believe it.
I'm inclined to agree with you and the voters on Twitter.com, Joe, who overwhelmingly think Harry Callis is telling the truth. And I think there's also a portion of people there that might not think you're telling the truth, but just don't care. And they think it's okay for you to put yourself over. I mean, I've said I'd have done the same thing in your position. Same thing that is being alleged. Now, I did comb through Harry's email. Got nothing. No smoking gum. Now, could he have destroyed the evidence? Sure. I'm not technologically savvy the way Harry is. So Harry could have found a way to delete the email and made it impossible for me to find. But I don't have any actual evidence here. All I've got is Pony and intern Dom shouting from the mountaintops. And I do think there's motive there from Dom. Trying to force Harry out by way of now taking his job as a producer of the morning show. Of all the people here, I think Dom has motive to try to get Harry out of here. Pony also could be trying to drive a wedge between us here on the morning show. I've said it for the last 2 weeks. I've turned over a new leaf with Harry. Harry and I are on the best terms we've been on in a very long time. I don't know that that sits well with Pony.
No, because he's always got to peddle the chaos.
Mm-hmm.
It's always got to be a conspiracy theory. This is the world's worst conspiracy theory. It is the world's worst conspiracy theory. There has never been a worse theory in the world, in the history of the world, than this one.
That's hyperbole, but I like you standing your ground. 412-928-9370. Here's a text. I think the pitching staff for the Bucks is playoff worthy, but the position players have all got worse this year. Reynolds and Hayes are no longer good. I didn't have much expectation for Key Brian Hayes. Brian Reynolds has been a profound disappointment. And usually this is where he turns his season around in June. He hasn't even had a good June. And the lead up to June was worse than we're used to seeing as well. When he signed that contract extension, the Buccos, they got out to that 20-8 start. It was extension season. Derek Shelton, you get an extension. Hey, Brian Reynolds, you get one. It was like Oprah, you guys get a gift. You get a gift. Everybody gets a gift. Look, it's a monogrammed mug under your seat. Bob Nutting just throwing out extensions left and right, but Brian Reynolds was hitting the cover off the baseball. He looked like an MVP candidate for a couple of weeks there when the Pirates got off to the hot start. He got off to no such start this year. So even one of the guys who's a mainstay in your lineup has not been good enough. So, yeah, I think they're just a couple of bats away. They got to be good bats. But Starkey was arguing yesterday they're just one away, and I don't see it that way. I do think that's a playoff staff. Like, if you got this Pirates team as currently constructed, don't laugh, into the playoffs. Like, all the other teams cheated and they're exempt, so the Pirates get into the playoffs. I do think you would see a competitive series like you just saw in Chicago because the pitching staff has been out of this world. It just has. Especially since the start of May. But they'd probably lose three games, 2-1, 1-0, or 3-2. The staff is absolutely quality enough to be a postseason staff. But how many hitters in this lineup can you actually count on? O'Neill Cruz for like 2 weeks at a time, then he'll go on a two-week swoon. Brian Reynolds in June every year of his career saved this one. Andrew McCutchen's probably their most reliable guy, and yeah, IKF has a high average, but he's also got an OPS, what, hovering around 700? The guy's got no power to speak of. So I think they're a couple of bats away, which can be done in one offseason, if, of course, you try. Coming up next, surprise Bucko from the 2013 squad, also played for the 2012 Pirates. He'll tell us when he knew they had something special brewing and if he sees any of the same similarities with this year's team. That's on the way. It's 9:30. Time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums. 724-443-5610.
For your loss.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This is a series, obviously, by one run. Just how frustrating is it to be right there and come up short?
It's frustrating, but it just shows we're right there. You know, Cubs are leading the division. 4 one-run games, came out on top on one. You know, obviously wish it was more. Guys are battling. We're right there. Pitching is doing a heck of a job keeping us in it. And we had a chance in the 3 games we lost, for sure.
So that's Pirates manager Don Kelly. He says the team is right there. They are 14-17 in one-run games. They've been much better in one-run games since Don Kelly took over. And I think the eye test tells you that, yeah, they're closer to contention than they were, obviously, when Derek Shelton was the manager. Don Kelly's done a nice job. They're a game under 500 with him at the helm. And joining us now is Lunchbox Hero 45, Travis Snyder. He was a member of the 2012 Pirates that were on the come-up, and a member of the 2013 Pirates that did finally break through, and they advanced the divisional round of the playoffs, and we're excited about this. Travis has done some stuff for Sportsnet Pittsburgh. No Neil Walker the next couple of weeks, so Travis, kind enough to join us. Hi, Travis. How you doing? Thanks for coming on.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Travis, it was funny, man. We were actually talking about you on the air a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if you saw this. Denzel Clark for the Athletics made one of the great catches you'll ever see, where he scaled the wall in center field and brought back that home run ball. And then a lot of people on Twitter and Pirate circles were sharing the catch you made against the New York Mets back in 2012. Do you remember that one? Was that the best catch you ever made?
Absolutely. I think growing up watching Ken Griffey Jr. here in Seattle, watching him scale the wall in the King Dome, and all the other great outfielders during that time, ESPN top 10s were kind of the thing when we were kids. So to be able to do that at the major league level in a city like New York, just after getting traded over with the Pirates, it was a memory I'll never forget, and actually one that my son likes to bring up as often as he can.
It's one of the great catches, at least in recent Pirates history. There was one that Brian Giles made that Brandon Phillips hid back when he played for Cleveland back in the day, and Giles stuck his foot in the left field fence and then reached over. But those are a couple of the best catches we've ever seen. We've been talking about the Pirates for the last hour or so, Travis, and I think Don Kelly's right. They're closer than they've been. They've been playing good baseball. You obviously were a member of the 2012 club, 13 club, 14 club, and 13 and 14, you guys made the playoffs, but in 2012, you guys sort of faded down the stretch. But did you know in 2012 that you might have something special brewing there?
Absolutely. I think as a culture within the clubhouse, we had to learn what extreme ownership really meant in the world of professional sports. You have front offices, you have coaching staffs, you have the fan base, you have the media, all these outside kind of pressures or narratives that are getting pushed into your clubhouse. And I think, I would love to see those guys in Pittsburgh continue to galvanize and grow together as a unit with Don at the helm now, and give them an opportunity to really just put it all in there, out there on the field every single day, and give the Bucco fans what they deserve.
I think you are speaking, you are preaching, if you will, to the choir here, because Pirates fans feel that way. This is a great baseball town, as you've seen. What was the difference between 2013 and 2012? Because, I mean, you guys were like lightning out of a bottle in 2013, and then you add Garrett Cole to the mix, and, well, the rest is history.
Yeah, I think, as I mentioned before, you know, leadership stepping up and saying we're not going to allow any of these excuses or crutches that we like to use as professional athletes and as human beings, right? There's always going to be excuses, whether that's injury, that's poor play, that's, you know, a shakeup in the roster or in the coaching staff. And I think as professional athletes, the leadership really starts to matter when you get to on the cusp of being a playoff contending team. And we had guys like AJ Burnett and Clint Barmas, Neil Walker, Andrew McCutchen, Pedro Alvarez, where, you know, as a young group of leaders mixed with some good veterans, we were able to come together and really pick each other up throughout the long season, which everybody knows baseball is an incredibly long season. So the monotony of the day-to-day grind that the fans and the media really ride those highs and lows, and how you can maintain that consistency within that energy field that is the clubhouse, really allows guys to go out there and compete for each other instead of all the external noise that starts to creep in throughout the season when people doubt you or you go through a tough streak, and recognizing there's going to be ebbs and flows. But if we can keep this thing as steady as possible, it's going to give us the best chance to be at the end of the season playing for something special.
Travis Snyder joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. You mentioned AJ Burnett there, and we just talked to Neil about this a couple of weeks ago. Neil Walker, of course, that AJ Burnett was not, like you said, about that outside noise, to the point where Neil was once looking at his iPad, putting together his fantasy football lineup, and AJ Burnett went over, grabbed the iPad, smashed it, and said, "We're not doing that here. We're focused on baseball." And then the next day, AJ Burnett had given him, he gifted him a new iPad that was just sitting there in his locker. So was it really AJ who was kind of leading the charge there, and then everyone else sort of fell in lockstep with him?
Man, I'm dying laughing here. You can't see my face, but I had a chance to play with AJ in Toronto and got to know him there, and then got to know him again in Pittsburgh. And you know, we would joke with AJ on start day, we'd call him JA because he was just one of those guys you were almost walking on eggshells around. And he evolved his leadership style a lot when he went through what he went through in New York, and then becoming, you know, kind of that guy in the clubhouse in Pittsburgh. And I think, you know, if you asked AJ now, he's calmed down a lot in his old age. He was very fiery and really set the tone in that clubhouse as far as is what the accountability was going to look like, and kind of bringing that old school mentality from a leadership standpoint. And I think as we, you know, a young core nucleus of guys that were around the same age, a few years younger than AJ, started to recognize how can we leverage this energy, right? The JA energy, how can we leverage the energy amongst each other in the clubhouse and really hold each other accountable? Even though Walker and I definitely love fantasy football, and that's something we continue to do throughout our entire careers at the major league level. I'm actually a two-time Pirates League champ, no big deal on that.
There you go.
The opportunity for us to really hold each other accountable instead of expecting the front office or the coaching staff. And it wasn't always the negative energy that we joke about with JA. It was the plane rides. It was the bus rides. It was the time that you spend off the field together and building that, like I mentioned, that energy field. It really becomes a family. And I think that's where AJ was always the guy that was inviting guys up to his suite to be able to hang out, hang, you know, on the road and spend time together in a safer setting. And I think that's something you'll always be grateful for. My experience in Pittsburgh with AJ is seeing that kind of transformation of the leader he became there.
Just spending a lot of time in various clubhouses and locker rooms and such, like, I've always felt like the best teams, they have strong leadership from their manager or their head coach, but you need to be player driven as well. What is the role of a manager? What was Clint Hurdle's role in keeping you guys singularly focused?
I think Clint's, one of his greatest superpowers is his ability to speak. And the way he and Neil started to build the culture of the organization, even before I got there, and it wasn't perfect. And if you ask Clint and Neil, they'll tell you that too. But they were really committed to this idea that we have to build a culture instead of just the branding of a culture. And they brought in a lot of really good people, whether that be on the player side or on the coaching side or the support staff side. So we had just a good core group of men and women who were bought in and pulling the rope in the same direction. And I think that was one of Clint's strengths, is really being able to stand up in front of a group of guys and deliver a message that motivates guys and brings people together, instead of what, you know, I think in years past and the way the game's evolved, the leadership style that they were bringing into this culture was different than just the old school, we're just going to get in your face and blow you up when you make a mistake. And that's where I think Clint has really thrived in his career as a coach, is he understood how hard the game was. He had all these expectations that, you know, he's talked about publicly and the mistakes that he's made on and off the field. And I think when you see people in a leadership role that are taking ownership and being vulnerable and not standing up there like the game's easy and that you guys should win every game when you step on the field. It was really just cultivating a mindset collectively as a group for us to be able to pull for each other. And again, as you get guys like Garrett Cole and some of the other young, talented guys that we had during that time, and guys like Josh Harrison, and then all the role players that came in throughout those years that I was there, myself being one of those, just the way we pulled for each other, whether it was as bench players, as starters, as bullpen guys, whatever the roles were, it was a really cohesive unit. And I credit Neil and I credit Clint and the leaders in that clubhouse for really taking that concept and building something around it.
All right, we're up against it time-wise, so this might not be fair for me to do, but you say you're a two-time champ in the Pirates Fantasy Football League. Who stinks? Like, who's the guy who drafts a kicker round two?
Jared Hughes, he drafted the backup tight end for the Dallas Cowboys because he was a Cowboys fan. And it was kind of a joke, but, you know, we played for some decent money at that time. So I would definitely say Jared Hughes was the guy we look forward to getting in the league every year.
Travis, this was a lot of fun, man. We really appreciate you jumping on. I know you're on West Coast time, so thank you.
Hey, my pleasure. No better way to enjoy a cup of coffee than chatting with you guys.
My man. Thank you, Travis. Hopefully we can do this soon.
Absolutely. Have a great one. Good
you
luck,
too.
Pirates.
Yeah, let's go Bucks. I mean, he talked about Clint Hurdle there, and look, I'm not in there every day, and that was good stuff by him. Jared Hughes, bad at fantasy football. Good at getting in fights with Cincinnati Reds. Speaking of fantasy football, Tommy Pham. Anyway, he talked about Clint Hurdle and how you get everybody focused and the power of his rhetoric. I also felt like Clint believed in guys, and I think Donnie Kelly's got that too. And I think you have got players out there who are, and I think it was IKF who said this the other day, who are less afraid to make mistakes right now. I don't think the team is probably as close as Don thinks it is. I think at least through, 32 games? Bad math. 35 games? That they've got the right manager. I do think that. All right. Coming up next, we'll give you the latest on the Harry Callis scandal. We'll hand things over to Joe Starkey. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Route 19, and Peters Township. Have left myself precious little time here to determine the innocence of one Harry Callis. Let's get to the Twitter polls. Do the Steelers have a better roster this year than they did last year? 75% of people say yes. Is Terry Bradshaw's whiskey any good? 85% of people say no. And now for the big one. In the case of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania versus Harry Callis, a jury of your peers has determined that you are not the father. That's the wrong piece of paper. You are innocent, Harry. 66% of Fan Morning Show listeners say they believe you. 34% say no. So as far as I'm concerned, bangs gavel. I consider this matter dead. Go in peace. You are free.
I've been in peace this whole time. And I feel like I'm in pieces after all these accusations, but thank you.
You have been exonerated, and we expect a full apology from Andrew Filippone at 2 p.m. today. And from intern Dom, who got roped into the whole thing.
He didn't get roped in. He volunteered his opinion on the
matter. You can make your accusations tomorrow morning at 5. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, a high of 77. Paul Coffey, low of 66. Lemieux, 75% chance of rain.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.